by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
This is the famous footwear that makes us actually want to go back to school with the newest styles from all your favorite brands like Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, and more. You'll find everything kids want, all at prices parents can appreciate, because you don't have to overspend to make it famous. Famous Footwear even has fit experts in store to make sure you get the right size every time. So for the perfect fit, make it famous. Plus, right now, buy one, get one half off when you shop your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
You're going to feel a puff of air.
Zhang's Optometry has set their sights on staffing up.
Try the next line. Hey, Kim, can you tell our 2 o'clock we're running 15 behind? Sorry, we're a bit backed up today.
He needs an optometric technician to keep an eye on it all.
Where are the dilation drops?
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM, Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Before leaving for an event in New Orleans today, President Biden was asked if he would attend the inauguration in January if Donald Trump wins that election.
President Biden spoke with press as he left the White House on Tuesday. When asked if he would attend the ceremony if Trump wins in November, Biden said, quote, I have good manners, not like him. Donald Trump broke with tradition when he did not attend President Biden's inauguration in 2021. Molly Nagel, ABC News, the White House.
Arizona and Missouri are the latest states to add measures to the November ballots that will decide abortion access rights in those states. The White House is warning an attack by Iran against Israel could come this week. The Pentagon is working to build up its military presence in the region. And as people gather and travel this summer, COVID cases are on the rise around the country. The CDC says 27 states report very high levels of the virus found in wastewater samples. Those levels, though, are still low compared to the height of the pandemic. This is ABC News. Security preparations are underway for Taylor Swift's upcoming London concerts. Her shows in Vienna, Austria, canceled when a terrorist threat was uncovered. ABC's Ian Pannell is at Wembley Stadium.
The UK authorities say there's no increased threat. They're highly experienced in policing these kind of events. Even the State Department hasn't increased its advice. And, you know, I've just been down there. I just spoke to a couple of Swifties who already, they've got their T-shirts on. They're super excited about the next few days. They said, of course, they were affected by what happened in Austria. They felt bad for the fans, they felt bad for Taylor Swift, but nothing was going to dampen their excitement about what's about to happen here.
As a precaution, unticketed fans are banned from gathering outside Wembley Stadium for the five-night stint. Much of Europe under a heat alert. It's the latest of a series of heat waves facing the continent. Parts of Italy have been in the forecast to see temperatures in the triple digits, and hospitals are reporting a 20% rise in people seeking emergency care for heat-related illnesses. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants in stock.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. And here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks that just will never come out.
Oh, Downy the Rinse Change.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers. One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes 100% of odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
Wisconsin Radio Network News, I'm Ted Aylin. It's primary election day in Wisconsin. Voters across the state will see a pair of constitutional amendments that would give state lawmakers some say in how billions of dollars in federal money are spent. Voters will also see primary races in everything from local offices to Congress in some communities. Something to keep in mind from state elections administrator Megan Wolf.
You can only vote for candidates of one party in this election. If you choose a party preference at the top of the ballot and you accidentally vote in more than one party's primary, the votes within the party that you chose at the top of the ballot will count towards your choice.
Polls in Wisconsin are open till 8 tonight. An armed man shot by Fitchburg police is in critical condition. Police say they responded to a call regarding a couple that was fighting. When officers entered the home, a 28-year-old man armed with a knife allegedly approached officers after refusing repeated commands to drop the knife. One officer fired at and struck the man, who was taken to the hospital. The victim of the original incident received minor injuries. The officer involved has been placed on administrative duties as the Wisconsin Department of Justice investigates. Universities of Wisconsin officials are confident in the future of higher education in the state. UW System President Jay Rothman says they need to change the perception of the value of higher education.
If you look at the data, the number one reason that students are not going on is cost. And I think sometimes we get caught up in that national narrative, well, you folks are too expensive. We have to push back on that in Wisconsin and say, listen, if you are an in-state resident coming to one of our universities, you can get a quality education.
Rothman spoke at a recent state Senate study committee on the future of the UW system. The committee is expected to meet again August 29th. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Mostly sunny and warm today, with high temperatures climbing into those mid-80s. Winds will be light and variable, and overnight, patchy fog is possible. We put today on repeat for tomorrow as well before we get soaked on Thursday, with rain lingering for our Friday and even into Saturday. Call Tax Solutions now for help. 1-800-281-8193. Right now, 81 degrees.
And welcome in to AOA, Agriculture of America. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. We got a great show lined up for you here as we are going to be taking a look at the latest Ag Economy Barometer numbers coming up later in the program with Dr. Jim Mintert from Purdue University and the Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture. Also, we're going to learn about Power of Iowa Day at the Iowa State Fair and talk with the CEO of the American Clean Power Association. Jason Grumet will be with us in segment four of our program. Josh Linville, VP of Fertilizer at StoneX, going to join us coming up as well here on the show today. We're going to get an update on what's happening with that fertilizer market and more, especially with depressed grain prices here currently. Helping us kick things off, though, we're going to connect now with Mike Miner from Professional Ag Marketing. He just got done with a crop tour of his own, and it's that season as we get crop tours going on across the country and much more. So let's bring him in. Mike, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's good to chat with you again, Jesse. How's it going?
It's going good, Mike. It's going real good. Now, I know on Monday, USDA predicted record corded soybean yields, 183.1, 53.2, some monster numbers there. Now, I got to ask you, Mike, you just got done with a crop tour of your own last week. What did you find? Are those numbers realistic, or is it a little bit of a fantasy type of number there from USDA? What did you find on your crop tour?
Well, I'll put it this way. So, like, we traveled 2,500 miles. We went through, you know, northwest Iowa, eastern Nebraska, all the way over to Ohio through Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and then back through the north side. And I, good to excellent wise, if I had to rate crop ratings from day one until the last stop, I didn't see a field that wasn't good to excellent. The whole Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio, everything was fantastic condition-wise. It was very, very good all the way across the board. So when I like went through eastern Nebraska, it was fantastic crops. Maybe in the south we had a few hailed-out areas, showed some stress there, but very minuscule for what I thought the bigger grand scheme of things was. Missouri, big improvement over last year, obviously from the drought, showed fantastic results through that. Illinois, Indiana, perfect field conditions. Ohio, maybe we had some problems with fields being planted a month apart because of rainfall. Maybe we had some leaching problems out there, same as what we've got in our backyard here. And then the whole way back home, I mean, it was good record corn yields all the way back home until I basically got to Northwest Iowa, which I could spend an entire radio show just talking about what I think Northwest Iowa's situation is, Jesse. But I thought when it came to condition-wise, it was fantastic. Like, best ever. I've done this 9 years. Where the crops are and where the crops matter, they are fantastic. Now, you have a safe yield and you have a record yield, right? And you've got the state yields that you can safely put in, like, okay, is Iowa really a record? And maybe not because of Northwest Iowa, but pretty darn close, like 203, not the 209 the USDA came out with. Now, could I see him with a good finish doing 209? Totally. 210, you can easily hit that mark. Now, you go through like Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. If you told me all of those are record, I wouldn't even scoff at you. I'd say, yeah, they looked perfect. I mean, it's going to be hard to pull you off of that. Now, on the other hand, was Illinois a record by like 11 bushels, but 225? Now, I don't know how good is when we start talking about it like that, right? But I know one thing, that Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, I mean, fantastic crops. It's hard to argue with whatever number the USDA comes up with there. At this point, it's very difficult. You really got to shoot for the moon to get bigger than that 183.3. If we get a good finish, though, I think it's easily right there. I think even if you kill Minnesota's yield, you're still above that trend line yield in the bigger grand scheme of things, Jesse. And I think that's what we should take away from it in this year's crop.
Well, I think about this and those numbers that USDA threw out there, and then what you're saying kind of echoing that as well. You know, at the end of the day, we won't completely 1000% know exactly what it is. It's always kind of an estimate here, but just the general theme seems to be a monster crop is out there, despite some of those bad areas in the Corn Belt that are out there. And so you look at the markets, for instance, here after the August WASDE, soybeans especially kind of took it on the chin. And Mike, just feels like this bearish trend, unless we could pick up some substantial demand, just feels like this bearish trend in grains is going to continue. What do you think?
Well, I'm looking at it from two different sides here. The corn balance sheet was really a gift yesterday. For them to increase demand like they did, drop acres, for ending stocks to drop like that after we increased yield like that, I mean, that was a gift for us. I mean, corn was up 6 cents yesterday. That should not have been the case in most years with that type of acre yield change. So that extra demand basically was just them saying, I think, hey, price is going to go down. We're going to be more competitive from an export perspective in the world. You're going to have a cheaper U.S. dollar. So those things are all going to line up, and we're going to export a lot more than we did this last year. That's great, and that's the way it should happen. Now, are we seeing that yet? No, not yet. But so the corn side with a 13.9% stocks to use ratio, which I think is the most analytical way of looking at it, you're looking at a situation where March corn futures here in 2025 should be around 380 historically from when I used that number. So I think, you know, maybe we're getting pretty darn close with March at 415 today, you know, hovering just above $4. We're working our way towards that 380, and I think that's a comfortable level. That, you know, I was worried before this report, if you would have told me 183 plus, you're probably looking at like a 15%+ stocks to use ratio. This thing's going to be ugly. We're going back down to like $3.50 on corn. Now, we still could, and I'm not ruling that out, because our analog year is 2014, I would argue, pretty aggressively. And that year we bottomed at the end of September, early October for a price. So for that low at 320 that year, you know, we probably have some work to do yet by then if we had a pretty similar pattern. But that's kind of the way I'm looking at it. Soybeans, completely different. Yesterday's report was nasty. You added acres, you added yield. Demand didn't pick up that much. And even the 25 million bushel increase on exports we did have, that was probably a gift as well. The same story as corn, just adding demand in because of a lower price and more competitiveness. But exports are way behind for this next marketing year. I'm struggling to see ending stocks not above 600 million next year at this point, even with some added buying with China coming up if they step back into this market. So the soybean balance sheet looks ugly all of a sudden, which is unfortunate because the countryside, I believe, is incredibly undersold for new crop soybeans. And I think that's going to be a problem here in this next marketing year for sure.
Definitely. Well, I know folks can find more info. They can take a look at some of the crop tour results as well. ProfessionalAgMarketing.com. Mike Miner, Professional Ag Marketing. Always good to talk with you. Thanks for the insight and joining us here on AOA today. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, coming up next, we're going to switch over to the fertilizer side of the market. We're going to talk with Josh Linville, VP of Fertilizer at StoneX. He'll be with us next on AOA. On the August episode of the Monthly Grind with the National Corn Growers Association, we learn more about Farmers for Free Trade and their relationship with the National Corn Growers Association as we talk with Farmers for Free Trade president and corn board member Bob Hemesoth.
Farmers for Free Trade is a nonprofit organization. It was formed to show the benefits of free trade to the public and also to mobilize farmers and ranchers to take action to support beneficial trade agreements that expand export opportunities for farmers and ranchers and for the products that they raise. We work together closely with all the member groups that are part of Farmers for Free Trade, but for me as a board member for NCGA, it's important that we work together and understand the needs of corn growers to make sure that we as Farmers for Free Trade are looking out for those opportunities. And the one thing that we continue to do is always amplify that message of how important trade is.
Join us the first Wednesday of the month for the Monthly Grind on AOA and learn more at ncga.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Having someone you can trust with your everything is everything. At Chippewa Valley Energy, keeping you warm, keeping you cool, keeping you safe is what they do. Since 1922, when the Eau Claire Cooperative Oil Company was founded, it was to service farmers, homeowners, and businesses with necessary energy solutions. Since then, they've grown, but still offer the same great local service that they did over 100 years ago. Become and stay one of their partners with necessary energy and reliable service for your generations, your farm, your business, your family. Chippewa Valley Energy, no more. Go to ChippewaValleyEnergy.com.
Imagine you're on a John Deere mower. The smooth ride lets you escape into your yard. Intuitive controls make you feel like you're one with the machine. And with attachments for every season, you can enjoy it all year long. We could keep trying to put you in the moment, but to really understand what this feels like, you just have to get in the seat.
It's time to make tall grass short at Tractor Central. Save hundreds on select John Deere riding lawnmowers and zero turns. Offers end September 3rd. Some restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, we talked in that first segment about these grain markets, quarter beans in particular, as there's this potential out there for a monster crop, it sounds like. And we heard a little firsthand account from Mike Miner's crop tour across the Corn Belt. Well, how is the grain market picture impacting the fertilizer market right now? We want to talk about that. Joining us for a conversation, he is the VP of Fertilizer at StoneX, Josh Linville. Josh, welcome back to the show, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing all right. Just trying to figure out how it is. We keep getting rain and cool temperatures in the middle of August, but we're not going to complain about it.
I tell you what, this is not August weather for many folks. I will agree with you there, and it's probably going to add to some of that talk of this this potential here for this year's crop in many areas, just to keep the temperatures somewhat cool and not too stressful. And I got to ask, Josh, I know the conversations are out there, social media, at the coffee shop, in the shop at night, things like that. Grain prices just being so bearish and depressed right now. What kind of impact is that having on the fertilizer markets, if any, right now, Josh?
Now, wait a minute. I haven't heard this from a fertilizer. Do you mean grain prices are down? Nobody has mentioned that in the fertilizer world.
No, really? I didn't think that.
Yeah, and it's been that has been the talking point of the summer. Actually, since we had this big conference in Nashville here back in July, I think the market has finally succumbed to the fact that grain prices are low and they don't look like they're going to rebound. And that's probably the biggest thing the market is trying to change. It's gotten used to, even when things got a little rough, which they have over the last couple of years, typically events have happened to kind of pull the market out from the slump that it was. There's always some black swan event. There was always a rally in grain prices. There was some event that salvaged the situation. That's not been the case this time. It seems like every morning you wake up and it's like, well, we're down another couple cents. Now we're down 5 cents. Now we're down here. Oh, we broke down through this threshold mental price. So it's been a really tough go. As a result, farmers have really shut down, and that has shocked the marketplace. Is everybody's used to, well, by this point, we've got sales going on. It's been very easy to sell everything. And now the farmers are saying, my cash flow for 24 stinks. My cash flow for 25 isn't much better. There is no reason for me to do it today. Even when we talk about some of the global events going on that we think could actually push prices higher, and right now everybody's heads is probably popping, like, how in the world could they go higher with what's going on? But you look at nitrogen, you look at phosphate, even potash. There are scenarios where we see this price going up here in the next few months. So it's just kind of a stalemate, right? And everybody's kind of looking at each other like, I don't want to do anything. I don't need to do anything. I want to sit back and see what happens.
Well, and that's a good point. And I think about this, you know, looking at any fall application, or if you're starting to make decisions for next year, or you're at least looking at things for next year, just makes it a tough environment. And to your point, you know, I have to wonder here if there's going to be some pullback in the fertilizer categories here as we start making some of those decisions, Josh.
Well, on the nitrogen side, I would say probably not. Now, that's not to say there won't be anything, but let's face it. If you're going to go out there and plant corn, and corn is king across North America, if you're going to plant corn and you want to maximize your yield, which is probably your best chance of making money, you've got to have that nitrogen out there. Now, we got to talk about the timing of that. When are they going to apply it? Are we going to see fall anhydrous be as good as it usually is because of the cash flow situation, or is everybody going to wait till spring? So we think demand's going to be good. We do wonder about the timing. Potash, we think, is actually very well priced. If you look at it versus grain pricing, those are actually in line with where they should be. Phosphate's the one that scares me. That price is extremely high. When you look at that ratio between the corn and the phosphate values, some of the worst, easily within the top 25% of the worst value to the farmer, going back to 2018. If I ran that graph all the way back to 2005, it'd still be in the top 25%. It's in very, very bad shape. We do think it's going to impact demand here in the U.S. End of the day, I think it's probably the first thing in line as far as inputs go. The farmers are going to look at and say, if I've got to make a cut to save cash, phosphate's going to be the very first in line.
What about some of the global events? I know we got the potential here of war in the Middle East, Iran, Israel, all the tensions there kind of simmering right now. That's one area. Of course, you got Russia, Ukraine ongoing. A lot of things happening globally. Talk about that and some of the impacts we could be seeing in the fertilizer market from some of these world issues that we're watching right now.
Yeah, this is why we keep always say, you know, watch the horizon, watch the world, because we are part of this world market, whether we like it or not. And frankly, this is one of those situations I do not like being part of the world market. But nitrogen, for example, we got a lot of production issues and supply issues around the world. To your point, the Russia-Ukraine war continues. Ukraine actually pushed into Russia, and that's caused European natural gas prices to go even higher. Well, their nitrogen production was already 75% of normal. And now with Dutch TTF pushing higher, we could see more production go offline. China, Taiwan, we've been seeing China pull back on phosphate and urea exports. Urea, they normally export 5.5 million ton per year. Jesse, January through June, 140,000 ton total. That is not per month. That is the grand total for the first half of the calendar year. Brazil, high natural gas prices. So their nitrogen production remains offline. Trinidad gas curtailments. Their production continues to have hiccups. Egypt, tight gas supplies. They continue to have hiccups. So on the phosphate, I'm sorry, on the nitrogen side, there's a lot of pockets around the world that's impacting supply. The reason prices haven't gone up, again, everything is being anchored by the fact that farmers are looking at it and saying, I don't care. I don't have the money to spend. I'm not going to spend it. If they're not spending, the retailer doesn't feel comfortable. The retailer doesn't feel comfortable. They're not going to the trader, the supplier, the manufacturer. So everything is just kind of logjam for the moment. We will get broken out of this eventually. But right now, everybody's just staring at each other like, nope, I'm not doing a thing.
We're talking with Josh Linville, VP of Fertilizer at StoneX. Josh, could we potentially, and I'm just thinking out loud here, could we potentially build an oversupply with a lack of demand here around the world when it comes to various fertilizers with just how this picture is looking right now?
On the nitrogen front, I would actually argue I am more worried about a tight supply situation than I am an oversupply situation. We see demand being adequate. The supply issues are going to be enough that all added together, they could become a very real number that we have to deal with. Phosphate domestically, that could be a little bit of a story at oversupply going into late December, January, after we wrap up the fall season. However, if we have China continuing to pull back on their exports, they're typically the global leader as far as exports go. And India, who's the biggest buyer, if they start playing catch up, they're about half of the stockpiles they normally would be by this time of year. That's a real bad 1-2 punch right there. Potash, Israel, Iran. People don't know. Israel's the fourth largest potash exporter in the world. If there's an attack and it shuts that down, we could lose them very quickly. That doesn't even start to talk about the Canadian rail strike that's a possibility. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, Jesse, I'd love to sit here and say oversupply, price corrections, better days are coming. Right now, I'm struggling to see it.
Well, and you mentioned the Canadian rail strike. That's an issue that's right at our back door here, Josh. I know just a few days ago, we got the announcement of lockout notices from both the CPKC, Canadian Pacific Kansas City, and then the Canadian National. And it just sounds like that this has been a simmering issue here that's looking like it could shut down rail activity, which, of course, I think about this, you know, how much potash moves into the U.S. on rail from Canada.
It's a tremendous amount. And people, I don't want to say people are underestimating what the impact could be, but it would be massive. I mean, we're looking at it from just a potash perspective. You think about it from the Canadian people. They don't have the luxury of a river system to move goods if something else shuts down. It's harder to move trucks back and forth like we're able to do. So if they lose rail, that's a huge, huge impact to their entire economy. I am trying to stay positive. I am trying to stay hopeful that at the end of the day, calmer heads prevail. They're able to negotiate. They're able to come to terms and continue working. Even if it goes into a strike, I'm hopeful that saying less than a week, we start to see the government step in and say, okay, guys, we can't have this. We're going to do this and kind of force their hand. Because if it turns into a long-term work stoppage, we've got serious issues.
Josh, 30 seconds. What would you reiterate to producers as they're watching the fertilizer market right now?
This is very easy to say and hard to put into practice. Keep your emotion out of it when it comes time to make a decision. It's when you're looking at the prices, you're looking at grain, you're looking at fertilizer, you're looking at chemical seed, everything else. And it's enough to make a guy just fly off the rails. And I get it. Do that if you need to. Toss something if you need to. At the end of the day, when it comes time to make a decision, don't make them rash. Don't make them emotional. Take a step back. Fundamentally, economically, what's the best decision for my farm?
Good thoughts to remember. VP of Fertilizer at StoneX, Josh Linville. Josh, always good to talk with you, my friend. Thanks for being with us here on AOA today. Appreciate it. We'll have you back on the show again real soon.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Coming up next, we are going to talk about the ag economy picture. We saw a little bit of a bump in sentiment in the latest ag economy barometer. We'll talk with Dr. Jim Minter from Purdue Center for Commercial Agriculture He'll be with us next here on AOA Agriculture of America. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we examine how the modern cooperative system solves today's biggest challenges. We'll be talking to CHS experts and farmers and ranchers just like you, and we'll learn how cooperatives apply innovation and technology to help co-op owners get more value every day. Join us Around the Table every Tuesday, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Resetting your password, unsubscribing from emails, printing anything. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your business doesn't have to be one of them, so you can get back to more important things, like learning how that printer works. That's simple human sense.
Your hometown auto owner's insurance agents working for you, the Jerry Thompson Insurance Agency, downtown Durand.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
What is your greatest asset? A house? Your portfolio? What about your health? Your health is the most precious commodity you have. I'm Nikki Gillis, nurse practitioner from Provisions Health. Let Provisions Health protect that commodity with affordable health care and testing services for individuals, families, and businesses across western Wisconsin. When you visit provisions.health, you will find information on health services and upfront pricing so that there are no surprises. Providing affordable health care and testing solutions for western Wisconsin. Provisions Health, 3rd Avenue West, across from Security Financial Bank, Durand.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, let's take a look now at the July Ag Economy Barometer out from Purdue University and the CME Group. And we take a look at the Ag Economy Barometer itself. The number rose in the month of July. A little bit of a surprise as we talk about all the economic headwinds out there across farm country and more. So let's take a look at these numbers. Joining us now, he is the director for the Center for Commercial Agriculture and professor in the Department of Ag Economics at Purdue University, Dr. Jim Mintert. Jim, welcome back to AOA with us. How are you, sir?
Great, and great to be back with you, Jesse.
Well, let's talk about that headline number first. As I mentioned, bit of a surprise. Looked like up, 8 points in the month of July? That was quite interesting to see that, Jim.
Yeah, the barometer up 8 points to a reading of 113. That's compared to June. I actually think this month it's probably more relevant to maybe compare what some of these indices are showing us versus a year ago. So if you go back and look to July of 2023, the index this year is down 10 points compared to a year ago. And kind of a similar story if you look at the current condition index and the future expectation index. Both of those were up compared to June. But if you compare them to July of 2023, current condition index down 21 points below a year ago. Future expectation down 5 points compared to a year ago. So I think the year-to-year comparison maybe gives us a little better picture in terms of what people are feeling from an economic perspective. But it was interesting that the sentiment did improve in July relative to June because, you know, during the course of the 30 days or so that between when we collected data in June and when we collected data in the middle of July, cash corn prices here in the Eastern Corn Belt were down, I think, 11%. Soybean prices were down 5%. So you wouldn't expect to see that kind of an improvement in sentiment ordinarily. But our data collection did coincide with the dates for the Republican National Convention and, of course, immediately followed the attempted assassination on President Trump. And I kind of think that that probably had an impact on sentiment.
That's an interesting point you bring up. And it's something that I'm glad you did because obviously the political landscape, everything going on in the U.S. and around the world, it's a big topic of conversation right now, Jim. And I feel like it's something that, to your point, maybe gave some of that euphoric bump, so to speak, throughout farmers surveyed in July. I would have to agree with you. I can't imagine how some of that didn't weave its way into farmer sentiment here this past month.
Yeah, and I have to say we kind of got caught flat-footed because we didn't have any explicit questions on the survey that addressed that. The survey was already in progress when everything broke loose. But if you go to look at past surveys and follow, for example, the 2016 election, people became a lot more optimistic following the 2016 election. The 2020 election, they became a little less optimistic following the election. So we have some evidence that's in the past that says political events can have an impact on sentiment. And really what it's about is what people's policy expectations are and how those might shift. And so in future surveys, we're going to ask some of those policy-related questions, but unfortunately didn't have any of those on this month's survey. So we don't have any direct evidence that was what was taking place, but it's certainly suggestive of that looking at past behavior.
Jim, I know looking at some of the other questions, obviously the biggest concerns for next year for your farming operation doesn't look like there was much change there. We've been talking about this for months with prices, input costs, interest rates, that cost price squeeze that you have indicated many times. Seems like that's kind of the big overarching theme with that question as well.
Well, number one, high input cost remains the top concern. And you're right, Jess, that hasn't really changed much over time. But if you look at the other two key factors that we've been talking about, lower crop and livestock prices and rising interest rates, there is a bit of a shift there, especially when you compare it this summer versus last summer. So, for example, lower crop and livestock prices, clearly people are more worried about that here in July of 2024 than they were in July of 2023. This month, 29% of the people chose that as one of their top concerns. A year ago, it was only 19%. And the opposite situation with respect to rising interest rates. Last year, roughly one out of four, 24% of the people in the survey said that was one of their top concerns. That's really dropped back. This month, it was down to 17%. And that's consistent, really, with some of the things we've been hearing from the Federal Reserve with respect to the idea that interest rates have topped out and perhaps even see some declines in interest rates this fall, particularly maybe as soon as the September FOMC meeting. So I think there is a bit of a shift, not so much on a month-to-month basis, but really kind of a little longer-term basis when you compare this year to last year.
I always, especially with how much we talk about a farm bill and some of the supports in there for row crop farmers in particular, some of those commodity title things, et cetera, it always interests me to see how low on the totem pole farm policy is when you guys ask this question each and every month here. It seems like it's always running pretty much the 6 out of 6 is kind of where it seems like that farm policy question always runs as a concern for operations going into next year.
Yeah, that is kind of an interesting point, and we've struggled with that a little bit. But I think when we look at some of the comments people make and some of the things we pick up outside the survey itself, I think what people are really telling us is they expect the current set of farm policies that influence, you know, year-to-year returns are probably going to stay the same. Mm-hmm. So I think people are really kind of telling us they don't expect any big change in farm policy, and therefore they're not worried about it. If something shook loose and we did see a significant change, I think the responses on that one would change. But you're right. I mean, I think people always, almost every month, I think, have been telling us they're more worried about environmental policy than they are farm policy. And again, that gets at that aspect with respect to, you know, what's the regulatory environment? How does that impact my operation? It's something that's continuously on people's minds.
That's a good point, too. And especially with that Chevron deference being overturned by the Supreme Court here about a month ago, what could that do with regulatory policy and more moving forward? An interesting thought there. Talking with Dr. Jim Mintert, Center for Commercial Agriculture at Purdue University, about the latest Ag Economy Barometer. Jim, I want to take a look at the final question that you guys asked here this month, looking at cash rent expectations for 2025. And I think that's something that I've seen some folks talking about that on social media and et cetera, and heard it in some conversations about cash rent positioning and things like that, and just the overall land value picture, et cetera, et cetera. What were some of the things that you guys found with this question in particular this month?
Yeah, so we asked people, compared to 2024, what are your expectations for cash rent in your area in 2025? And the question went to crop producers only. So if you were identified in the survey as being a crop producer, you got this question. Roughly three quarters, 72% of the people in the survey said they expect cash rent in their area to stay about the same in 2025 versus 2024. And then the remainder, the other 28%, it was pretty evenly split between those who expect lower cash rents and those who expect higher cash rents. Coming into the survey, I probably expected to see a few more people say that we're going to see some lower cash rents. But you know, when you look at history, 1 year of one year of weak returns in the crop sector usually isn't enough to push cash rents down. It usually takes a couple of years before you see a significant response in the cash rent market. And I think that's part of what's taking place here with respect to such a high percentage of people telling us they think rates are going to stay the same. The other factor that's probably supporting those cash rental rates is the fact that we came into 2024 with a strong balance sheet and strong working capital positions, at least in most operations. And that means when a property comes up available for rent, there's going to be a lot of competition for it, with the idea that, you know, that we have limited opportunities to lease a property, a lot of competition, keeping those rates relatively strong. So we'll ask this question again as we go through the fall. It'll be interesting to see if it changes, if we see a recognition of the fact that 2024 is going to be a pretty tough year for a lot of folks, whether or not it results in a downward pressure. But at least so far, it doesn't look like a very much of that's going to take place.
All right. We'll be interested to follow that question here throughout the fall with you as well. Jim, any other final takeaways from the July Ag Economy Barometer or anything else you'd want to share with us here this month?
You know, when you look at what's taking place in the farmland value outlook perspective, one of the things I think we're picking up is more uncertainty. And I think, you know, you look at our indices, on average, it still says more people think value is going to go up than think it's going to go down. But clearly, people have lost confidence in that. There's less confidence that value is going to continue to increase And really, I think probably an expression that there's maybe more uncertainty in the farmland value market than there was, for example, a couple, 3 years ago.
Well, definitely a lot of things to track and keep an eye on. And we'll look forward to seeing what the August numbers look like next month. With that, Jim Mintert with the Center for Commercial Agriculture and Department of Ag Economics at Purdue University. Jim, always appreciate the time going through the latest Ag Economy Barometer with you. Thanks for being with us this month.
You bet. You're welcome. Look forward to next month.
And once again, you can learn more about the monthly Ag Economy Barometer out from Purdue University and the CME Group. Just go to ag.purdue.edu/commercial-ag. And from there, you can navigate to the latest Ag Economy Barometer and take a look at the historical results as well. Again, farmer sentiment improving in July despite financial performance concerns. That's the big takeaway from this month's Ag Economy Barometer. All right, on the way next here on AOA, before we wrap up our program, we're going to talk with Jason Grume, the CEO of American Clean Power Association. Power Up Iowa Day happening at the Iowa State Fair on Tuesday. We're going to learn more about that and talk about the American Clean Power Association. We will sit down with Jason Grume on the way next here on AOA Agriculture of America.
This is the famous footwear that makes us actually want to go back to school with the newest styles from all your favorite brands like Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Converse, New Balance, Birkenstock, and more. You'll find everything kids want, all at prices parents can appreciate, because you don't have to overspend to make it famous. Famous Footwear even has fit experts in store to make sure you get the right size every time. So for the perfect fit, make it famous. Plus, right now, buy one, get one half off when you shop your local Famous Footwear or famous.com. Some exclusions apply.
Babes, what are you doing?
What? I'm just mowing the lawn.
No, it's blazing hot and dry out here. Don't you remember? Smokey Bear says,
avoid using power equipment when it's windy or dry.
Where'd you learn this?
Oh, it's on
SmokeyBear.com with many other wildfire prevention tips.
Right. Thanks, Honey Bear.
Because remember, only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I'm at the movies, asking people if they'll switch seats with me for $574.
Here, take mine.
So what about $574 if you switch your home insurance to Allstate?
Too much work.
Not if you call them. They handle the switching.
Now that's a plot twist.
Shh. Check Allstate first, and you could save hundreds on quality home insurance today. You're in good hands with Allstate.
Not available in every state. Based on the national average annual savings for new home insurance customers surveyed in 2023 who switched to Allstate and reported savings. Savings vary.
This is the story of the one. As a facility technician installing a new welding station, he knows getting the ventilation right is critical for safety. That's why when questions arise, there's Grainger. Grainger offers detailed technical product information online at his fingertips, so it's easy to find what he needs. Because when it comes to safety, having answers means he and his people can breathe a little easier. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Jason Marthaler, who leads the oilseeds product line for CHS, will provide a soybean crush update. Jason, soybean harvest is just around the corner. What's your outlook for domestic demand?
The outlook for domestic soybean demand looks strong as we head into harvest. In the U.S., we crush 55% of the soybeans we produce, or about 2.3 billion bushels. We use another 100 million bushels or so for seed and other uses. This next year, soy crush is expected to expand by 6% to 2.4 billion bushels as the industry grows to meet the added soybean oil demand.
Well, the U.S. soybean crush has been increasing with expansions and new facilities. What's behind that trend, and do you expect it to continue?
Since 2022, soybean crush has increased by 225 million bushels and is expected to increase by a total of 725 million bushels in the years ahead. This substantial growth is driven by increasing renewable diesel demand for soybean oil. Three government incentives to reduce greenhouse gas emissions are promoting this growth. Number one, we've got the renewable fuel standard that was established in the mid-2000s. You've got federal tax credits like the blender's tax credits and other tax credits in the Inflation Reduction Act. And number three, you've got low carbon fuel standards in California, Oregon, and Washington State.
Jason, what's your outlook for soybean meal demand?
Soybean meal demand looks steady as we look into this next year. Global and domestic demand continues to increase at a steady pace of 3 to 5% per year.
Thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com. Any information or opinions presented are for informational purposes only and do not constitute trading, legal, or other professional advice. CHS makes no warranties about any information or opinions provided and shall not be liable for the use thereof or any errors or omissions therein.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Joining us now, he is the CEO of the American Clean Power Association. Jason Grumet is with us here today on the program. Jason, thanks for joining us. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, it's great to be with you.
I know that Tuesday is Power Up Iowa Day at the Iowa State Fair. Of course, the Iowa State Fair is ongoing right now. We're going to talk about that here in just a moment. I want to ask you first, for folks who aren't fully aware of what the American Clean Power Association is, can you give us a little background first?
Yeah, sure. Look, first off, there's no better place to be in August than the Iowa State Fair. Nothing we'd rather be talking about there than clean energy, which is growing the economy and creating jobs. And, you know, I was really one of the national leaders. So super excited. So look, the American Clean Power Association is the big trade association representing the diversity of companies that are all part of this new energy revolution, right? So we represent the, you know, big utilities, including folks, you know, who serve Iowa, like Mid-America. We represent the companies that have been building the factories that are making the wind turbines and the solar panels, the developers, the transmission folks. I mean, it's really a big tent that is committed to kind of an all of the above with purpose view of energy policy.
All right. Well, let's talk about Power Up Iowa Day, specifically happening at the State Fair on Tuesday. And I know Power Up Iowa is an initiative of the American Clean Power Association. How did this all kind of come together to have Power Up Iowa Day at the State Fair, Jason?
Sure. So look, the clean power industry has really deep roots in Iowa, right? I think that there's no state that has more reliance on clean power than Iowa. You know, leaders in the state, from Senator Grassley to Governor Reynolds, have long been champions. And so it's just a really great opportunity for a whole bunch of the companies that we represent to come together. And, you know, we got a big avenue of, a whole bunch of events where we're going to be both talking, substantively about what clean energy means in Iowa, what Iowa means to clean energy. But then, it's the fair, right? So we got a contests for kids to build wind turbines. We have a lot of fun stuff to hand out, and really just looking forward to having real conversations with people about energy policy and both ambitions, but also to the extent that folks have concerns, we want to hear those too.
Well, and I wonder about that too. And you mentioned Iowa kind of being a leader in clean energy and solar energy and more. I grew up in northern Iowa, Jason. And so, I think about the wind turbines that dot the landscape across much of much of the state, and especially my hometown area in the northern part of the state. I mean, talk about Iowa a little bit more as kind of being a leading state when it comes to clean energy.
All right. Well, so look, when it comes to production, when it comes to investment, there've been, in the last couple of years, $25 billion brought to the Hawkeye State for new clean energy investment, which brings jobs and tax base. And, this is a big industry, right? So obviously some people think those wind turbines are beautiful. Some people love them a little less. But what it means is that we can, preserve the kind of culture and the economy of Iowa as a farm state. For farm owners, private landowners, the ability to lease land for these developments is like another crop that provides a regular amount of income every year. And so, while we certainly have had lots of conversations about people who are deeply concerned about just the character of the region and its kind of agrarian roots, what we're finding is that the ability to bring wind power into an agricultural community is actually allowing people to keep the farms, right? Not have to turn them into condo redevelopment areas. So, very much engaged in the local communities and really, very committed to being good neighbors.
Well, and you mentioned some of those concerns. Are those things that you hear in conversations, not with just folks across Iowa, but really across the country? Are those some of the key things that you hear on a regular basis? Talk about that a little bit for us, Jason.
Sure. Yeah, so look, every source of power has its, pros and cons. I think one thing that people have to appreciate is that demand for power in our country is surging, which is good news, right? It means we have a strong economy. It means that we are bringing back, manufacturing. And so we need all different types of technologies to make sure that we have reliable energy. The thing about renewable power is obviously it's clean. The fuel is free. Prices don't fluctuate based on what, Vladimir Putin or Saudi sheiks are doing. The challenge is it takes a lot of land, right? I think, you can make a lot more power with a, coal facility or a nuclear facility in a smaller footprint, but they have their own challenges, which is pollution and waste and other things. So we certainly hear the land concerns. There's this is a big, beautiful continental nation. We believe that there is more than enough private land and landowners who want the income stream of renewable power. But it's been a challenge. I mean, there have certainly been efforts to kind of increase and amplify opposition. So we're finding, different ordinances and, folks trying to kind of wall off communities from economic development. And we've got to engage that, right? Some of those concerns are very real. Some of them are outside forces, but, we take them on with as much integrity as we can.
Well, again, Power Up Iowa Day happening at the Iowa State Fair on Tuesday. Jason, before we let you go, anything else you want to mention about Power Up Iowa or anything else going on with the American Clean Power Association?
Well, look, first of all, just super excited that Governor Reynolds is going to be coming by and hanging out by our booth. Also, we're going to have the Des Moines Community College. And I think the one thing I would say to your listeners is if you're looking for a job in this pretty exciting new sector, come by the American Clean Power booth, right? All our companies are looking to recruit. We need to hire about 500,000 workers over the next 10 years. And so if you want to learn more about the industry, please swing by.
And you can also follow them on social media and learn more at cleanpower.org. With that, the CEO of the American Clean Power Association, Jason Grumain. Jason, thanks for being with us here on AOA today. We appreciate it.
Appreciate you. Take care.
And with that, we are out of time here on AOA Today. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we'll talk with Glenn Tonsor from Kansas State University, go over the latest meat demand monitor results and more. Dr. Lisa Beckton with the Swine Health Information Center going to join us for a conversation. Markets with John Heimberg from Total Farm Marketing and a crop update from West Central Minnesota with Syngenta agronomist Jason Snell. All that and more coming up tomorrow on AOA. For now, we're out of time. Have a great rest of your day.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call?
If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose.
I can't believe tax season is here already. But look at all this info I have to enter.
Phil's small accounting firm is growing in numbers.
Why didn't I take that typing class in high school?
A data entry specialist could really help him in a crunch.
I got blisters on my fingers.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews